And then I call it the miracle morning. One beautiful spring Sunday morning, we were all ready to go to church, and it takes a lot to get ready to go to church when you have a baby. But Missy and I were standing out next to the driveway waiting for my husband Phil to back the car out of the garage when all of a sudden he closed the garage door and said, "We can't go." And I said, "What do you mean? We're all ready to go to church." He said, "I'm sorry, the car's dead. We can't go." And I said, "But can we just walk to church?" He said, "No, it's about 10 miles to church." I said, "No, I mean just to the church down the street." We had not been there before. So he said, "Okay, but hurry up. I don't want to be late. If there's two things I can't stand, it's to be late to church, and the other staff to sit up in front. If we're late, I know we'll end up in front, so hurry up." And so we rushed down the street. It was only a couple of blocks away from our house, and Southern Hills Baptist Church. And I knew how much Phil did not like to have to sit in front, so I was praying that we could slip into the back. But that was not to be, because we stepped into the lobby, and it was empty. There was no one there. Stepped into the back of the sanctuary, and it was packed, absolutely packed. And the service had just begun, and I was thinking maybe we should just turn around and slip out, when all of a sudden an usher spotted us, smiled broadly, and motioned for us to come forward. Well, I knew he was already too far forward to suit my husband, but nevertheless, we began to follow him. And he kept going and going and going until he reached the second row from the front of the church, where he ushered us into, believe it or not, literally the last two seats available. And those last two seats available just happened to be right next to this couple that we had been hearing about for over a year and a half by that time. We were able to meet their beautiful little girl that day. Their names are Pat and Cheryl Poole. Their daughter's name is Charmin, precious, beautiful child, with some other challenges besides her vision. And we became very, very close friends, and of course told them about the program in Oklahoma City right away.
But isn't there a story behind why were those two seats open?
You know, that's an interesting story, and not many folks know that. But yeah, as a matter of fact, I learned years later that there had been a couple sitting there, and someone had come up from the church staff and asked if they would be willing to help out in the nursery that morning. And that couple said yes. And because that couple said yes, those two seats were vacated to pave the way for miracles that would continue on for the next five decades.
Yeah. So then you were able to tell them then about Oklahoma City, and they didn't know that, did they?
They knew nothing about Oklahoma City. And so very soon we were taking the trips together. Just Cheryl, the mother, and Charmin, and Missy, and I. And it was on our second visit that the professionals there said, "This is not going to work for Charmin. She needs much more than what we can offer to you on a once-a-month basis. She needs daily therapy. She needs daily physical therapy, daily speech therapy. She needs, you know, she needs a lot of help, and we can't do that just once a month." And they said, "Are you sure there's not anything in Tulsa?" And we said, we've been everywhere. And so they just felt bad. And all the way home, we were sad and feeling honestly quite depressed. And then finally one of us, and we neither one remembers who said this to who, but one of us said to the other, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if Tulsa could have something like the program in Oklahoma City?" And so the more we thought about that, the more we thought, you know, why not? Surely we could find a director or an administrator, a program that's already in existence that would be willing to start a program like this. It's got to be a school, a hospital, a medical center, someplace. And so when we got home, we began to search. We made a list of all the places we were going to go. And we began to visit all of these different officials. And one by one, they told us the same thing over and over again. "I'm sorry, ladies, we don't have the staff. I'm sorry, ladies, we don't have the space. sorry, ladies, we don't have the budget. I'm sorry, ladies, this is just premature for us. Maybe in a few years. Well, we knew that a few years would be too late. And so I was ready to give up, honestly. And Cheryl had this incredible childlike faith. She just believed. She said, no, we're to keep going. And so she said, let's go visit just one more. And that one more was a pediatrician, well-known pediatrician. So we went, we set up an appointment, and we went. And by this time, we had really practiced our presentation. So when we went in, we told him about all the different places that we had been, all those that we had already consulted with and sought help from, and the time and again that we had been turned down. And when we finally ran out of things to say, there was a silence. And then I remember him sitting up, leaning across his desk, looking over his reading glasses at us and saying, ladies, I'm just going to tell you something. If you want this center, you're going to have to build it yourselves. Well, I had had enough. I was all kinds of done with hearing that, and so I was furious. I thought, he knows there's no way that we can do it. Cheryl was a housewife. I was a retired school teacher. We didn't even know what a 501c3 was, much less did we know how to start a 501c3 or a center. We were seeking help because we didn't know how to do it. So it was ludicrous for him to say such a thing as that to us. And so I expressed my irritation all the way down the hallway. And then I expressed my irritation all the way to the car. In fact, we had been sitting in the car for quite some time, and I was still expressing my irritation when all of a sudden it dawned on me, Cheryl hadn't said a word. In fact, she was sitting there with the most angelic-looking expression on her face. And then it hit me. I said, oh, Cheryl, you're not thinking what I think you're thinking. And she smiled, and I said, Cheryl, we wouldn't even know where to begin to start a program like that. And she smiled and she said three words, but God does. I said, okay, I know that's true. But Cheryl, if all those doctors and administrators think it's going to be so expensive, I don't even want to know how expensive it would be. And we don't have a dime to begin a program like that. And she smiled and she said, but God does. And John, for the first time in my life, I came face to face with a question. And that was, did I really believe what I had always said I believed? When I was a little girl, I used to memorize scriptures about how God could do anything. And I got little stars on a chart for it. And in Sunday school, I would sing hymns about how God could move mountains. And all my growing up years, I had believed that God could do anything. I had had a close relationship with the Lord, and I had always believed that, but did I really? Because here we were facing a situation where we had nowhere else to go but God. And so, in short, I decided I had to find out the answer to my question. And so I, with a great deal of fear and trembling, took Cheryl's hand of strong childlike faith, and we dared to believe God for a 20th century miracle, and we took a giant leap of faith.